Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Kings, defending those of the vernacular. So we wrapped up week two of the preseason. The Bears took an L. And, of course, Bears Twitter, like we said, was going to have a meltdown over a preseason game.
These motherfuckers are crazy.
Down. Melting down.
Crazy.
Fire DA. Oh. The defense is worse than I thought.
You bro, know, so awful preseason game, bro.
I don't put much stock. I like to see the young guys. That's why I watch preseason. Oh, yeah, they made that big deal of Caleb missing Colston Loveland. That was all on ESPN.
Yeah.
So, hey fellas, what was y'all thoughts of the preseason game, man?
That second preseason game was, I wouldn't even say a dress rehearsal. I wouldn't say it was. It just was. Fuck, I don't know. I guess it was just shit to pass the time. To be totally honest, it was very boring, man. Nothing about that game was exciting to me. You know, it was good to see that. You know, Vandenberg, he was explosive coming off the ball. He was really the only bright spot, to be totally honest, for me and what was going on. Now, I don't know if that could have been game plan or what, but of course, Tyson Bagent didn't play. You know, it's all good. I mean, shit, it was the second preseason game, you know. Like I said, Caleb got out there, you know, the first unit, they got out there, they did a little bit, you know, okay, he missed the throw, but what they're saying is that Caleb was trying to throw him open. And, you know, it was a misconnection there. But, I mean, shit, to be totally honest, I mean, if they on the same accord, that's touchdown. Because the corner came down and was not paying attention to what the hell was going on. And he had no over-the-top cover. He had no help. He had no over-the-top coverage. He had nothing because the safety bit down. So Loveland was running by himself, to be totally honest. Now, if he phased that out, you know what I'm saying? Which Caleb tried to do, you know, and not get his fucking head taken off from the safety that was over top. And again, that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? For most people who don't understand the position of being a receiver, tight end, what have you, when you're running down the hash mark, right? And you know, as a quarterback and a wide receiver, you should know if you're one-on-one, if you're past the cornerback, the first thing you're looking for is the safety, because that's the guy that's going to try to come and undress you. So what do you want to do? You want to fade him out so he can, you know, take the blow off of your wide receiver after the catch and give him that time to make a play one-on-one on the defender. If you just laser ball it to him and put it right on him, he's going to get undressed. Because, again, he's going over the top of the zone. He'd have took his fucking head off. That would have been a heat-seeking missile coming down to lay Colston Loveland out.
What you call that, Will? I mean, Roy?
Hospital ball.
Yeah, there you go. Hospital. If he throws it absolutely that way, it's a hospital ball.
So what he was trying to do was fade him out. You know what I'm saying? And they say, oh, well, he missed him. Nah, it was just a miscommunication, that's all. And they didn't connect. It's all right. You know what I'm saying? That's what these preseason games are for. It's practice. Motherfucker, glorified practice. Understand that. This shit ain't real, people. It's not real life. It's pretend, okay? It's just going through the motions right now. Going through the motions, practicing. They practiced all week. Okay, so what? He missed a throw. And so what? But I do want him to work on his accuracy, but that shit don't happen overnight, people. You know, it took Aaron Rodgers, what? Let Aaron Rodgers tell us shit. It took him damn near 10 years in his career before he mastered accuracy. You know, like you said, as he stated to Justin Fields previously, work on one thing in the offseason, one thing and one thing only. And then the following season, work on something else and then work on something else. And then that way you get a little bit better and a little bit better. So that's that. I mean, again, like I said, Vandenberg, he was my lone bright spot of the game. Other than that, it wasn't too much to write home about. Shit, I only watched, I say, to be totally honest, I probably watched the first offensive series. And then, of course, everything else I've seen on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, and highlights and shit. I didn't watch that fucking game. And anybody, unless, you know, I was there, but even if I was there, I don't think I'd have watched it. I'd have been,
I don't think I watched the whole game either.
Yeah, I'd have been walking around the fucking stadium finding shit to do. So, whatever, man. That shit was a snooze fest. I'm not going to lie to you. That shit was boring. So, again, you know, by the time the first unit came out, it wasn't nothing else to watch. Just being honest.
The crazy thing is, though, is that, you know, most preseason games are going to be boring. They're going to be snooze fest. They're going to be, you know, situations where you, you know, you're paying more attention to things that's going on around you than the actual football game. And then you might hope to catch a splash play or a highlight play at some point in time, but it is what it is. You know, a lot of people making a big deal of Caleb missing that throw. I mean, it's not that – it wasn't that far-fetched for me. I've seen him miss throws quite often, you know what I mean? That was one of the things that we've said, you know, time and time again, is that he has to have his accuracy better. And people balked at that and was like, oh, you're a hater, you're a hater, you're a hater. Now, the same people that was calling me a hater, I see – up and down the Twitter line talking about, I need to see improvement from him here. And it's like, when Dan said it last year, a year ago, two years ago,
yeah,
you know, he was just a hater. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just.
Still crying over your boy Fields, huh?
You know what I mean? We come full circle. That's what it comes down to. So, but it's nothing to do about nothing, man. I mean, it's a preseason game. You know, guys are not going to be 100% accurate on every single throw. You know, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league ever, in my opinion, was Troy Aikman. He could fit balls in windows that most people couldn't. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, 80% completion guy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is, man. Yeah, Drew Brees, you know, all of these guys, man. It's just you're throwing a small football around the football field and 30, 40, 50 yards down the field, you're not going to be able to drop it in the basket every single time. So, you know, it is what it is. You'd like to see him be more accurate and hit wide open guys. And that's what we have to, he has to work on. You know what I mean? The accuracy, but it's missing the layups for me. And that was pretty much a layup. So I get where people are coming from, but at the same time, it's a preseason game. I'm not really worried about it. I think he's going to throw 30 touchdowns this year, and we'll be satisfied with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we hold him to a high standard because he's so talented. But
for sure,
you know, and I think that's what a lot of it is. I think Ben was more upset that he missed Caden Davis on the shorter route because he wanted him to hit those little shots. Because shooting 3-pointers is like basketball, bro. It's a high percentage shot. The more threes you shoot, you don't shoot threes at the same percentage that you shoot layups. That's why you want layups. You shoot layups almost at 90%. Threes, 30, 40% if you're really good, 40%. So, right, you know, you got to take those like a little easily. But it was much about nothing. In that whole possession, they probably would have scored a touchdown because we can get into this. Braxton Jones got a holding penalty on a big run, wouldn't put him at first and 20. Right. And that's the reason why he took that shot, right? So we got to, you know, that's probably a topic we could talk about. Braxton Jones and that left tackle position. We praying that Ozzie Trapillo keeps making his miraculous comeback because it was – I didn't like that Braxton Jones got pushed back to the quarterback multiple times. We already know that this has been his issue.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I ain't like seeing that. That to me, that was a long – besides the missed throw or whatever, because, you know, Caleb will make that up. We've seen him do that a million times. The Braxton Jones thing, left tackle situation, man. Like, how are we feeling about that? Do you think we should bring in somebody like Tyler Decker, you know, like, until Ozzie comes back? Or
To be totally honest, we are in wait-and-see mode, to be totally honest. Again, and I say that because – as the day was ending, the news broke about Jervon Dexter possibly being traded, right? So could we move him for a left tackle? Could it be possibly that we may move him and package him with a pick or two and send him to Vegas? I don't know. You know, who knows? I don't know what the fuck they doing. But I just find it really weird that Ben Johnson goes to the podium and, you know, praises everyone along amongst the D-line and, you know, said that these guys are really underrated. And then news breaks, you know, they pulled Jervon Dexter from the practice field, you know, and then news breaks about, you know, him possibly being traded. So, I mean, shit, I don't know. To be totally honest, I think, again, there are going to be a lot of cuts after, because, again, a lot of teams, the only teams that play Saturday is the Bears, our opponent, the Lions, and their opponent. I think it's the Colts or something like that. But I think the we're the only teams that play Saturday. Everybody else plays Thursday and Friday, right? So I believe after this week, again, like I said, rosters will be getting set because I think everybody has to be to the official 53-man roster by sometime Sunday. On Sunday, if yeah. I'm not wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's like 4 p.m. Sunday or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be Fast and Furious, man.
Yeah, so you know, so I think a lot of moves will be made then. If we don't trade for one, we'll probably find one or pick one up off the hopper, you know, which is the trade wire, which is the free agency wire, because guys are going to be let go. Guys are going to be cut, you know, and if he's a starting caliber type of guy, you know, then guys will be traded. They need to find out how, you know, what's the timeline of Ozzie's, you know, return. Could he be back? I mean, they didn't put him on the pup, so he's not going to miss the first 6 weeks. It's just a matter of when he'll be ready. So, again, I don't know. You know, Braxton Jones being manhandled like a toddler, you know, a second string grown man that just caved his whole chest in on that edge rush, bro, is damn near embarrassing. It's like, but, you know, as Hoodie from the J Hood, you know, Captain J Hood show, as he always states, is Braxton Jones has no ass. To anchor, you know, literally, he has no ass to anchor himself, you know, and this is why he gets pushed around. And then Kareem Amagaji, oh God, you know, he'll be doing drywall. You know what I'm saying? Come next Monday morning, he'll be doing drywall. You know, or starting a construction company. He'll be doing one of the two. But again, laying drywall. Drywall is what we like to say. He's not an NFL player, you know, Yale, or, you know, he'll start up a fucking accounting firm, or, you know, a marketing management firm. He'll do something, but football is not in his cards, man. You know, he disguised himself one as for a very long time, and, you know, whatever. So, again, you know, guys like Jones and, you know, Amagaji, may fall to the wayside, man, because I just don't see them being on this roster. So, again, making a move is yet to be determined. Because, again, like I said, this Jervon Dexter news breaks. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So they know something. They have a plan on something. I just don't know who it's for, you know. I just don't know who it's for. And remember, people, I want you to understand this. A lot of the Bears' big-time trades – never happened during preseason. It always happened after preseason, right before the first game. Right before the first game. The Khalil Mack shit happened. Preseason was over with. I think we were going into the week of, actually. Wasn't that like a was it a Monday or a Tuesday?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It went down and we picked up Khalil Mack. And then he suited up for us. We played that Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. We played that Monday night, but I think the news broke of him. I think it was like I want to say it was somewhere early in the week. And then he came to show. It was like a frenzy, man. And then he balled out and had that crazy ass game on Monday Night Football, which was nuts.
Yeah. Man, you know, you look at the left tackle position, and, you know, all I wanted to see was somebody take a stranglehold of it. And it hasn't happened yet, in my opinion, of course, right? You know, that's the question mark. That's the billion-dollar question that we go into this season looking at. You know, we're not set at left tackle, unfortunately, until either Trapillo gets back or something, all right? And we hope that he comes back. And when he comes back, that there's no no setbacks, because we're not out of the woods on that situation, right? Of course. Right. So right. You know, you gotta think about that. You gotta think about that situation. Can these guys hold it down for a couple of weeks at the beginning of the season? Because a lot of teams will still be knocking their rust off at that point in the season, right? So even if we go in with Braxton Jones, that's the way you have to look at it. That's the only way you can look at it positively. Is that, hey, you know, hopefully they can hold it down while guys are knocking the rust off and they don't, you know, the bleeding is not too heavy at the beginning of the season. That's what we're looking at. But as far as, you know, Braxton Jones is concerned, I mean, I know what he is. You know what I mean? I wasn't expecting anything. Dude's 27 years old. You're pretty much who you are as a football player at that point in time. Amagaji, while he has a whole lot to learn and he has a whole lot, you know, a lot to development that needs to be done, he's still only 24. So you could say, okay, where it is, maybe a small upside. I'm just looking at positive stuff, right, in this situation. But then you look at all the negative stuff that comes with it, and it's like, man, you know, you got to protect your quarterback. You got to have this right, you know. And at some point in time, the Bears have to do something to get it right. And if it's waiting on Ozzie Trapillo, those guys somehow, some way, they're going to have to blanket them. They're going to have to chip with tight ends on that side or something to kind of help them out, you know what I mean? Do bootlegs away from that side. You know what I mean? Whatever you got to do to kind of protect your quarterback, there's things that can be done. And I'm sure Ben Johnson is going to explore all those options. But that was the thing. That's the thing that I'm more concerned about. A lot of people were so up in arms about Caleb Williams and the misfire to Coastal Loveland. But to me, that's the more important thing. That's the biggest position battle on the football field at this point in time. And that's the concerning thing for me. So they need to do something to get it together. I don't know what that's going to be because your options are limited. You know what I mean? And we could cry and moan and complain about it all we want to. But at this point in time, in the season, your options are limited as to what you can do. So, you know what I mean? You either have to wait and see who gets cut. Are there any available guys that might be able to, that you could plug in there? Are there any options for trades? Are there any, you know, is there any movement that could be done? You know what I mean? And you know, Pose is probably going to be exploring some of those options at some point in time too.
Yeah. The only option that I can't even remotely thought about, he's old and he's been hurt, is Tyler Decker, because he played with Ben Johnson in Detroit. But, you know, he's older. He's 30-some years old.
Injured, and he's hurt. Yeah.
And he's hurt. So those are your options. I mean, I think Ozzie coming back obviously is the best option, because that's what he was drafted for. Sure. You know, and that's what you want him. But injuries happen and you got to adapt. Injuries suck, man. But back to that Dexter, I mean, Jerron Dexter thing, man. That's big news in Bears world right now, man. So, you know, he's a 24-year-old. He's on the final year of his contract. You know, he's been somewhat of a decent interior pass rusher. Hasn't been the best at run defending. He doesn't really fit the profile of a DA interior pass rusher. He likes guys a little bit shorter, 6'3 and below, and a little bit more get off on the ball. We know that's not Javon's forte, is to get off on the ball. So it makes sense why they probably want to get something for him. But like Ned said, it's very interesting to see what's going to happen, man. I ain't going to lie, I would be excited if they somehow, some way, pulled off a major trade, whether it's Crosby or Sweat in Arizona. But, hey, we don't know. We're just speculating like everybody else. They could just, you know, want to get value for him, get a draft pick, because Vandenberg took his job. But I think that's a real interesting scenario. And we'll see within the next, 24, 48 hours what's going to happen with that situation. But just taking a stab at it, what y'all think the Bears might do, man.
Shit, I don't know, man, to be totally honest. If I got to take a stab at it, I say that they're going to probably try to move him for a left tackle. I mean, it seemed like the Bears and you know, it just seemed like they got contingency plans all across, right? No matter what, for every given situation, you know what I'm saying? If this player go down, we'll go with this guy. If this player goes down, we'll go with this guy. You know, they're very meticulous in what they do, you know, and calculated, right? This one here is like, I don't know if they move Dexter for a left tackle or if they actually, you know, Ryan Poles is like, look, man, you know, I got him on a, I got him on a rookie deal, and you know, we were one play away from playing an NFC Championship game because you roll that tape back before he threw that ball, there was nobody on that left side where he was rolling, and he could have kept running, and he probably still would have been running. To be totally honest, if he would have tucked that ball and ran. I mean, shit, we were like, what, 15 yards away from field goal range? That would have been ball game. Yeah. And then you let the, you know, you let the chips fall where they may against the Seahawks. And who's to say we don't beat them? I mean, shit, we was on a run. So, hey, he's looking at it. I don't know if he's looking at it like, you know, I'm going to swing for the fences and go and get Max Crosby, even though he's still hurt. But then again, reality sets in for me, and I'm like, that cap situation is fucked up. So how would he make the money work? You know, by adding him, you would have to do too much finagling. I mean, too much shit that's beyond my expertise, you know, that I wouldn't know about. Yeah, but
a lot of restructures.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You would have to have a lot of that come down the pipe. Could it be done? Yeah. But, you know, now listen, again, don't sit up here and say, oh, Ned said that we're going to go after Max Crosby. No, I didn't say that. But it is widely known that the Bears were heavy after Vita Vea. After Vita Vea. So, and of course, that you know, they big on Van Buren. So the thing is okay, they were big on, you know, they're big on those two guys, right? And of course, they couldn't make anything happen with the Vita Vea, right? Which, all right, cool, because Tampa Bay was like, dog, we're not getting rid of you. All right, plain and simple. And the Bears was blowing up their phone. To be totally honest, man, it's either, you know, either make a move for a left tackle or, like I was telling Dan before we got on air, man, it could be a possibility that the Bears package up a second and a third. You know what I'm saying? This year's second, next year's third, because there's no way you're giving up a first for somebody with a busted knee. He's still got surgery. He's still coming back, whatever. They may, you know what I'm saying? They may. But the way him and Caleb's chemistry was – On that podcast that they were on, I think it was Max Crosby's podcast.
Yeah.
Something is just leading to me. Something's like, if these little subliminal.
Yeah. They got mutual respect for sure.
Yeah.
They got mutual respect.
You know, little subliminal, you know what I'm saying? Things that they saying or whatever, you know, it's just, and I'm pretty sure Caleb is in front office ear, like, that would be great if we got that dude, you know what I'm saying, on the other side of the ball, whatever, whatever. And they seem like they tight. Like, yeah. It seemed like the both of them are tight, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. This is me spitballing, like I said, and just throwing a cocktail Molotov in the subject. They could pull off a blockbuster trade, man. A blockbuster trade, bring Max Crosby to Chicago. Why not? Because it ain't like you wanted to keep the motherfucker anyway. You tried to get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, he was gone.
Yeah. And then he failed his physical. Now, could it be that he purposely did that because he didn't want to go to the Baltimore? I don't know. They discover something that, you know, whatever. I don't know. But given the fact, again, like I say, he's recovering from surgery, whatever, whatnot. I just listen, man. I don't want to get too geeked about it. Again, like I said, this is just me throwing a cocktail Molotov in the wind, man. And, you know, maybe, you know, a first and a third, or, you know, a second and a third.
Yeah, first and Javon Dexter. Yeah,
and Javon Dexter and throwing, you know, a first and a third and Javon Dexter in there. I can see it happening. I could definitely see it happening. And the fact that, you know, my man already in there, you know, he done jumped on your first round draft. He done jumped on the franchise. I mean, hey, you never know.
You never know.
That's just a pipe dream, people. That ain't a fucking reality, okay? It's just me dreaming. Reality is they could trade Javon Dexter for a fucking left tackle. You know, hey, who knows? Chewing gum, some shoestrings, and a washing machine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. they'll do something. I don't know what they're gonna do. And you know, I was a fan of Jervon Dexter. I remember when he got drafted, and what's the other kid that got drafted out of? They got drafted in the same draft out of South Carolina. A lot of people were believing that kid was gonna be something. I was like, nah, Jervon Dexter is better. Turned out to be better. Maybe he's just not a fit, but I think he's a good player. I really do. Yeah, he was 6'5", 326, 6 sacks last year, 5 the year before that. Has been overall healthy. Played 17 games his first year, 15 the second year, 17 the third year. So he's on the football field. That's a good thing. And he's a big dude. You know, there's just, you know, maybe he doesn't fit their scheme or whatever, and Dennis Allen's scheme, and that's fine. That can be the case, but he ain't sorry, I don't think at all. And then you got Jordan Vanderberg, and I start thinking, okay, what does this say if they do trade Jervon Dexter? What's this saying about Grady Jarrett? Are they putting the eggs in that basket and saying, hey, Grady's going to be the guy? And you know, and then I see reports and articles about how Grady Jarrett is one of the leaders on the football field, and they really respect him, right? Mm-hmm. I think at a practice today, I was reading an article, came out about 3 or 4 hours ago, and it was talking about how Jalen Johnson and Grady Jarrett have been guys that have stepped up in practice and calling people and holding people accountable, basically. I think Grady yelled at Vandenberg and Montez Sweat, because mm-hmm. they was both taking a knee at one
told
point
him, get
and,
up.
On a drive. Told him, hey, get up. You know what I mean? Get up. Yeah, yelled it at him. So, you know, made him get up and things like that. So that bodes well, man. That's what we wanted from Grady, of course. He's not the player that he used to be, but if he's bringing that type of fire, you know what I mean, and kind of like putting a little fire under the young boy too, Jordan Vanderberg, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? You hear good stuff out of him. But that's not a good sign either, though. You know what I mean? So I'm going to call it both ways, people. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you hear a lot of good out of them. But if you sitting there taking knees and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I know you get tired out there. I know you're putting in work. But at the same time, you know what I mean? To have somebody holding you accountable is good. So, you know, hey, we'll see what happens. I'm thinking, do the Bears try to, you know, get another body along that front? Because – if you're going with Grady and you're going with Vandenberg, you're going with somebody else, it's inevitable that Grady's probably going to miss a couple games here and there. I just feel like it. You know what I mean? So you got to replace Jervon Dexter at some point in time or do something to get a body just in case you need him later on. So I don't know, man. It's going to be hard and difficult to see. I'm not really a fan of bringing Mike Crosby in here. I mean, I love his game, but – bro, that's scary, bro. That's scary, man. And he's got a huge contract, and you'll be saddled with that forever. And that's why Baltimore ran away from the deal. You know what I'm saying? They turned around and was like, "Nah, we can't do it because it's just too much of a risk. It's too big of a risk."
Nah, son.
That type of money on the table.
They did another one though. They did. Was it Trey Hendrickson? That's another one. That's another risk too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's less of a risk with a dude that has 8 surgeries, bro. 8? Max Crosby has had 8 of them, right? 8 different surgeries? That's a lot, bro.
They both injured. I mean, Trey's been hurt, too.
Yeah, Trey's been hurt, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the game is that, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, you know. But yeah. I think on the interior, I think the reason why they probably make the move is like, yeah, Grady, all right, Vandenberg, and I think that how Vandenberg is. You know, Ben Johnson don't big up rookies, especially unless they deserve it. And he, when he talks about Vandenberg, you can tell he likes Vandenberg.
Yeah, he does.
And then you say, okay, you got Gallimore. He was causing a little bit of havoc as a rotational guy. Contavious Street, Lynch. So I think he feels like they probably, and you know, Dio can kick inside.
Right.
So I think they feel like they may have some depth in the interior, you know.
That may be true. That may be true.
And I think
how many of those guys you keep? You keep all of those guys and rotate them?
I mean, you're probably going to keep 5.
Okay.
I mean, 10 on the defensive line, like, you know, 2, you know, 5 edge. Because, I mean, one of the, like, if you keep, like, somebody like Hardy, he's a special teams player, man. You know,
Yeah.
He can play edge, but that dude just be out there, No disrespect to you, Harden. I love you, boy. You're a hell of a special teams player, but hey, he ain't got nothing in his bag.
Nah. No moves, no nothing. You know what I mean?
He just be out there, bro. He was a dude, they took the picture of him jumping.
It's like he goes out there and it's like for him to get a sack, you just hope somebody misses an assignment. Yeah. You know what I mean? somebody missing an assignment, you know what I mean? That'll free them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No swim move, no spin move, no. You forgot to block.
He's not beating nobody. He's just coming free. You know what I mean?
Well, Rashard Coward. You know? Right. You're just like him? Yeah, I was supposed to get him. I mean, I think they got something. I don't even think it's just going to be a draft pick unless they just think they got enough depth, you know, like just to see him get traded for a third-round draft pick seems unlikely, man. I don't know. It could happen, but we're going to see.
Yeah, we're going to see, man. It's going to be difficult. I don't know if they get that much for him. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, man. But outside of that, we got a lot of players that came back. Elijah Hicks, Keyshawn Elliott, the rookie. He came back. Who else came? Tariq came back. So, I mean, that's a positive development, you know, because the Bears begin hit with injuries, man.
Riddle with injuries. Riddle. Decimated.
Decimated. You know, I saw Xavier Woods got a couple picks. Naz, you were talking about how they had contingency. Getting guys like Xavier Woods, Beanie Bishop and guys like that, just kind of plugging in. You know, I do like that. You know, which veteran do you think they picked up that, you know, may contribute to guys like Ahmed, you know, guys like that, that'll make the team and contribute going forward?
Yeah. I mean, man, you look at it, right, both sides of the coin. And this is why I said that this team this year should win, you know, should win, if not the same amount, if I say more, due to the fact that they have depth, right? Again, goes back to that contingency plan. They have depth. One monkey ain't going to stop no show on this team at all. They have guys, you know what I'm saying, after the guy now. Yeah, talent-wise, it's a drop-off, but again, you know, that will come with drafting. Like I said, over the years, you start replenishing positions and everything else when you draft well. That's why it doesn't matter if one of your stars go out, another young star will emerge. Look how Pittsburgh did their thing with their wide receiving core, right? How many number ones came out of Pittsburgh, bro? You know, they could be why? Because they keep replenishing guys while they got the guy. And they just have another guy up in the waiting, you know what I'm saying? Up in arms, up in the waiting. So, you know, from think about it, bro. You had Hines Ward, Plaxico Burress. After Plaxico Hall. Burress, it was Wallace, and then after Wallace, it was Antonio Brown, and then after Antonio Brown, you know what I'm saying? They just had guys, just waves of guys, at one after another, stud after stud after stud after stud. Okay, cool. So, you know, I mean, perfect example, look at San Francisco 49ers. You know what I'm saying? Not the owner, Jed, out here trying to buy some pussy in the trailer park. But, you know, we don't want to look at that. You know, what are you doing being a billionaire buying some trim in the trailer park? That had to be some top-notch trim, bro.
In Ohio, too.
That trim had to be fire. Like, top-notch.
Nah, in the trailer park?
Yeah, that's the white people projects. What you doing in the trailer park?
Fetish, bro. That's a fetish. Because, you know, he could have went out and got some high-end pretty woman, Julia Roberts. He had a fetish. That man wanted
to. Bro, he is like, I'm going to go get me some skank ass today. Some straight-up skank box. Like, damn, in the trailer park?
He was watching trailer park porn.
Yeah, I'm wearing a skank box right now. $50 hookup. Get my jollies off, and then I'm out of here. In the trailer park.
In the trailer park.
In Ohio.
$140. He was willing to offer $140.
Man. Not even 150, not at all.
Bruh, he was down bad. Not down bad. He is a horny bastard.
He got a
man.
Fetish, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's a fetish. Yeah, that's a fetish. He got a thing for somebody with missing teeth and yeah,
meth
yeah.
And, you know, and smell like
raggedy,
meth.
Tattered clothes, bro.
Yeah. You know
what
I mean?
He wanted that velveteen rub from that meth head. That's what it was. But no, bro, seriously though, you know, and people sitting up there talking about, oh well, I think he's gonna be in trouble. Bullshit. Stop. He ain't the first owner. He ain't going to be the last. Y'all forgot about Robert Kraft? Exactly. Over there getting a tug and rub over at the damn Snoo. Come on now.
Yeah. The miso soapy. He passed away.
Who?
Ursay was on one back in his day.
Ursay got popped. It was so many people got popped, bro. Like, buying ass has been something that's been going on since the beginning of time, folks.
Yeah.
Right. It ain't going to stop. Right. It's the oldest thing on the planet. Buying ass.
It's legal in Europe. You know, I'm surprised America, we made weed legal. I'm surprised. That's the next thing.
Oh, man. They do that. It's going to get everybody going to be freaky. Walking around here just straight freaked out, bro. And it's going to make these females even worse. Oh, my God. You think they hire prostitutes now? Jesus. They already soliciting prostitution every day on the internet.
They ain't paying taxes. They ain't paying taxes now. You know, the government, they gonna tax you though. That's the only thing.
Imagine that you go to fill out your W-2. Have you sold ass this month? like how much what?
How many hours have you participated in?
Right. Have you sold or bought ass this month? Check this month.
They give you a 1099.
Right.
Right. Right.
Oh man.
Fill out your
1099. Bro, that's wild. But back on course. But yeah, man, I mean, perfect example. Look at the San Francisco 49ers. They had players, you know, that could step in and take, you know what I'm saying, show up and take spots and do everything that they needed to do. You know what I'm saying? No matter who goes down, they got another guy that's stepping up. And right. That's key right there. To me, that's key is depth, right? And Again, like I said, contingency plans, whatever, whatnot, you can't win in this league without depth. You're only as good as the next man, you know what I'm saying, on the team.
Yeah.
And you've got to have depth,
not even only for injuries, but also to keep guys fresh, bro.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? When you got a nice rotation of guys, like look at the Philadelphia, you know, Eagles and the rotation of guys that they just throw waves of people at you, linebackers, defensive men, defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. They just stacked in that department. You just get tired of it. And your offensive linemen, they play the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
When you're throwing bodies after bodies and these guys are fresh. Yeah.
That's you tired, you over there.
You know what I mean?
No, seriously, speaking of fresh bodies, I think that's why Ben Johnson said what he said about the D-line. Because, again, the Bears' D-line is going to be a rotational D-line. And they're going to be about, you know, an eight-man line. Seriously, they're gonna rotate guys. So they're going to be an eight-man line, folks. You know, there's not going to be one guy out there the whole entire damn time. They're going to be rotating bodies in and out to keep guys fresh.
I do want to touch on that. I talked to somebody about that last year with the Bears. The line, I think it's just affecting them. Because I think Sweat is good. I think Booker's good. I even think Dexter is good. And we know Grady, he don't need to be playing the whole game, bro. He's just not that effective.
No.
The Bears' D-line depth last year sucked ass, bro. And I think a lot of people overlook. Man, dude, when Grady and Dexter took out, Chris Williams was non-existent.
Yeah.
I like Billings, bro, but Billings was getting pushed back. As big as he was last year, he was getting pushed back. I think people still think about him the previous – it might be age because he's a big dude, but he wasn't even on the line of scrimmage. He was getting pushed back by the linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive ends – once Turner and Odangbo went down, people get motivated. Dango a lot of, but he's a decent rotational guy. When he went down, you had Joe Tryon Shorinka, whatever the hell his name
is, getting
dog walked. Dominique Robinson getting dog walked. Mm-hmm. And we know Daniel Hardy's a special teams guy. So once the starters were out the game,
it
was not effective.
Right.
So having a guy like Odangbo, and even, I know he gets hurt a lot, I mean, but when he's healthy, he's good. They just signed Davenport.
Mm-hmm.
And having guys like Neville Gallimore, Jordan Vandenberg, even Kentavious Street. These are rotational guys. But you got to at least have a guy in there that can hold it down for 20-something snaps a game. You can't just, you know, rotate. You know, we were rotating. What's that one guy who got – he was forward or whatever. We put him in the game, and then they run up the gut and get 20 yards, bro. We got to at least have
– Right.
Yeah.
Like, Lance, these guys at least are NFL players. Like,
that's a great point, bro. That's a great point.
They didn't have
it's a whole different thing, man. And a lot of times, you know, when people are looking for these defensive, these interior linemen, this is the conversation that's so hard to have because people just want – in the world of fantasy sports, I'm going to just be real. In the world of fantasy sports, people are enamored with statistics, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What stats did you produce? What did you do? How many sacks did you give? So on and so on and so on and so on. So in this world of fantasy sports, it's hard to look at a game – And you just see these guys are great, but how many really great interior linemen are there in the NFL? You know what I'm saying? It's not that many, bro. You just need those big guys up front. It's just controlling the line of scrimmage, not getting, like you say, pushed back every time, right?
Yeah.
So if guys can get up there and make it difficult, eat up space, clog holes, play their positions – then it lets those other guys, the linebackers and defensive ends and everybody else gets off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ted Washington? Them dudes didn't get a lot of sacks, but they allow Urlacher and Colvin to run them up.
Anchor you know,
Dexter Lawrence is a hell of a defensive tackle. He was causing havoc in the Bears. How many sacks he had last year? I think one.
Yeah.
Who is that? Dexter Lawrence?
He's probably one of the best. I don't know how many Vita Vea had. He didn't have more than three or four. I promise you, without even looking.
Right, right.
You know, I'll look it up before we get off, but these guys don't have a lot of sacks on the interior. Like what Jordan Vandenberg does when he pushed that pocket and he forces the quarterback to get off the spot, that's what you need your interior guys to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you need those guys to do.
That's exactly what you need. Definitely. I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking it up right now. Vita Vea, he had 4.5 last year.
Yeah, 4.5.
Yeah, listen, Dexter. Javon Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter had more sacks. But we all know that Vita Vea is a better player.
And Vita Vea only had 16 solo tackles. He had 34 total tackles. Dexter had 41. So according to the numbers, some idiot that's playing fantasy football is like, oh, Javon Dexter is a better player. He's more valuable. But no, he's not because he doesn't control the line of scrimmage the way that Vita Vea does.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to say is that these guys – don't always put up big numbers, man. And they can be a hell of interior players.
Absolutely.
I'm going to look up Dexter Lawrence real quick.
Yeah.
Dex last year, he had a half a sack. He didn't even have a whole sack. Now, the year before, he had 9, but before that, 4.5. He had 7, 2.5, 4, 2.5. So, only had 2 seasons where he was like, had over 7 sacks.
Exactly. Had over 4. He only had 2 seasons over 4 sacks.
Yeah. So, you know, and we all know that he's a beast. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what we want. So even with Vandenberg, if he can push that interior pocket like he's been doing in these games, that's exactly what the Bears need. And then they can't step up in the pocket. And you guys have Sweat and you have Booker coming off the edges. You know, they're gonna eventually win. And you got a good second. That's the key right there, you know. So man, what do y'all want to see this last preseason game though? Like, you know, I know the starters ain't gonna play.
Them boys ain't gonna play. I ain't gonna want to see nothing because I ain't watching that shit. I couldn't even tell you who the hell they play. What, the Titans or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, I don't give a shit. I ain't watching. What I want to see is I don't want to see nobody get hurt. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, fuck, it don't matter because the starters ain't playing
Playing. Yeah, these guys are
these niggas be doing drywall next week.
Yeah. Injury settlement.
Drywall. Drywall. Hey,
I hope somebody steps up and makes a name for himself so he can go to a different team. That's for the most part. But that's all they playing for at this point. You know what I mean? You're not playing for anything else. So I don't, you know, I just want to see them go out there and execute, I guess. You know what I mean? Whoever it may be out there, do they follow a game plan? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like there may be somebody that's battling for something, I doubt it. I think pretty much, yeah, you know, pretty much the squad is kind of set. You know what I mean? It's, unless something outrageous happens and somebody just, you know. But then you got to take that with a grain of salt because who are you going up against?
Yeah, who are you going against?
You know what I mean?
It'll be the middle of the game.
Even if you did shine, it's like, what did you shine with? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that's the thing, man, is that you always hit this point in the offseason. I'm glad they only got three preseason games, because when they had four, bro, it was the draft. Oh, remember that?
Well, the third preseason game was always a dress rehearsal, so that's what we begin gearing up for right now. You know what I mean? Dress rehearsal. And usually those guys would, back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they was playing guys into the third quarter. Like Caleb Williams would go and it would be a dress rehearsal for him. He would play into the third quarter. You never see that now. You know what I mean? It's never happening. Not even in the second game, really.
No.
Trying to keep him safe, man.
Yeah.
Trying to preserve from injury. So